We know that God has plans for you. We know from just looking around at creation that God is a designer, a planner, and everything that works the way that it does in our world, in our universe. It's obvious that God is a planner. Today we're saved because of a wonderful plan of God, so that we could all be saved. And so we know that God has plans for you and for me. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Every time I read this verse, it's pretty mind-boggling to me that I'm in the thoughts of God. You are in the thoughts of God, but it's true. We are. He thinks about you, and he has a plan for you to fulfill. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you hope, to give you peace. That's the plan of God. We understand that God has a plan, but what about man's responsibility? What about our responsibility? I believe we have responsibility as well to do with what God has given to us. He's given to us time. He's given to us various gifts and talents and many things he's given to us. And he's also given us the privilege of choice. Sets us apart from all other creation. That we're able to make choices as to what we're going to do with our life. What we're going to do with our time. What we're going to do with gifts and talents and such that he has given to us. Before I read the text from Philippians chapter 3, I want to give everybody here this morning a challenge. Here's your challenge for 2017. Take it personal. I hope that you will. This is your challenge for this year. Purpose to do at least one thing for God that you have never done before. Purpose to do at least one thing for God this year that you have never done before. Break out of the routine and just see what God might be able to do in you and through your life. Let's read three verses in Philippians. The Apostle Paul was a planner, a goal-oriented person. It's revealed here in this text from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, goals are really a statement of faith. When you set a goal, especially a spiritual goal, it's a statement of something that you want to see accomplished by the grace of God in your life. And so you're looking at your life and you're looking at your talents, your gifts, the things that God has given to you, and you're asking the Lord, Lord, help me to do more for you. Help me to do something extraordinary for you. Help me to go beyond what I have been and to be more for you. There's nothing at all wrong with a desire to do more and to be more in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's the will of God that we have a desire to do and to see more accomplished for the glory of God. Do you know that if you're not setting spiritual goals, then it's very likely that you're just kind of drifting and coasting along in your life. Someone that's coasting has to be going downhill. You don't coast uphill. You're going down. You're not making progress. You're going back. You're not moving in the right direction. So if you don't set a goal to do something for God, to grow in the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord, to be more, to accomplish more for the Lord, then you're a drifter, someone just coasting along. And I think that most of us would have to admit that there are times when we're just in survival mode. We're not really moving forward or making all that much progress. But that is not the will of God. It's God's will for all of us to be growing. Now, the Apostle Paul set goals and established a few guidelines here in Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at these here, in beginning here with verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He's admitting. Now, you have to remember that Philippians, this is written closer to the end of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Paul had done a lot of things for God. I mean, Paul had tremendous power with God. He had such an anointing that rested upon him that they would take handkerchiefs and aprons from him, from his body, and take those, and those had power to heal and to deliver from demon possession. I mean, Paul was really something great in the kingdom of God. There probably is not another man other than Jesus Christ that could even measure up to the accomplishments of the Apostle Paul. I mean, he had done so much and was able to do so much. He was an amazing man of God. But yet he's saying, I still got more I could do. There's still more I could do. I haven't reached it. I haven't attained it yet. I'm not perfect. I can still grow. I can still learn. I can still move forward for God. I think one of the tendencies that we have is that the longer we serve the Lord, especially if you're like me and you're getting older, then you think of, well, I'm older, let the younger people do it. They've got the strength and the energy to do it. But they need the pattern and they need the guide and they need someone to be their role model. And that means you and me, those of us that are older folks, we need to model for them what it means to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. What it means to do more for God and to accomplish more for the Lord. I believe that all the days of our life, until you take your last breath, you are to be moving forward, growing, and attempting to do more for the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 33 and 25, it says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As your days go along, as you get 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever your age might be, as the days come, God gives you strength. He's promised. He promised the people of God, as your days are, so will your strength be. I'm going to provide for you the strength that you need to accomplish what I've called you to do, even in your latter years. This week we took all the family up to see the Ark encounter. The Ark is built up there at Williamstown, Kentucky. And now this thing is massive. I've always had, you know, in my mind, you know, the Ark and how big that it was. But when you walk up and you see this massive structure, and you go inside and you see the different levels and see all the ways that they were able they likely were able to take care of the animals. Do you know that there were only 8 people on that ark? They estimated that every one of them had to feed them and take care of them, that clean up the waste after them. For each person at least had to take care of 850 animals. So I quickly concluded, they were busy on the ark. They were working hard those months that they were on the ark. They were really, really busy. And do you know that Noah was in his 500s? That's right. 500 and something during those days that he built the ark and all of that that went on and the in the establishing of that. He didn't let his age affect him. He heard the call of God. And even though it was so peculiar and strange to everyone else in that generation, he heard the voice of God. He did what God told him to do. He built this massive ark, and it was the saving of his household.
So it doesn't matter how old you are. Psalm 103, verse 5, it says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." An eagle can live up to 100 years old, they say. And at some time during the older years of an eagle, he has a time that at least once, maybe twice in his life, a renewal time. He'll go up into the rocky crags of the mountain, and his beak has gotten hard, and his talons have gotten long and hard, and it's all just kind of getting in the way of everything. His plume, his feathers is old. And so over a process of maybe a couple of 3 months, during that time, he has a renewal time. And he beats that beak down. It's sharpened again, and his talons are sharpened again, and all of his plume and his feathers and everything is off, and he grows new, and he's renewed. He's young again. Amen. A lot of us older folks, we need a renewal. We certainly need a spiritual renewal to realize that God can do today what he did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and even greater things that he can do in your latter years if you'll make yourself available to God. He wants to renew your youth like the eagles. He wants to give you youth even in your older years. Psalm 46 or Isaiah 46 and 4. "And even in your old age," and I'm not just picking on the old folks, but "even in your old age, I am he." I'm the God that will be there when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 80, whatever your age is today. God has promised, "I'll be with you, I'll strengthen you, I'll minister to you." So really what the Apostle Paul is saying, that we all need a, number one, we need a healthy discontent. There's nothing wrong with being contented in your life. You should have a level of contentment in your life. But when it comes to your spiritual life and what you're accomplishing for God and the things of God, you need to have a healthy discontent. Never get satisfied with who you are. The Apostle Paul had great miracles and accomplished so many amazing, wonderful things in his ministry, wrote most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul could have kind of just sat back and said, "I'm old, I think I'm going to rest a while." But no, he was saying, even in the latter years of his life, he was saying, "I haven't attained yet. I haven't reached it yet. I'm not perfect yet. I haven't come to that level that I want to be." He was always looking to the next thing. Amen. And every one of us need to have that same kind of an attitude when it comes to spiritual goals for this year. Don't think that all of your better days, your good days, are in your past. But think about this year, no matter what your age, no matter what your circumstance might be, God has some things he wants to do in you. And you need to have a healthy discontent and say, "Lord, I want you to do something fresh and new. I want to be renewed like the eagles. I want to see something new in my life. I don't want to get satisfied with where I am." So that was Paul's first guideline here related to goals here. "I haven't attained yet. I'm not perfected yet." But he says, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ." What was he saying? He was saying, "I know that God has a purpose for me, and I know that I need to see that purpose fulfilled in my life." And he said, I was seized. I was apprehended by God. I was saved. Thank God for the day that you became a Christian. If you're not a Christian today, you can come to know the Lord before you walk out of this building today. You can call upon the name of the Lord. You can reach out in faith in Jesus Christ, and you can be cleansed and washed and made new. You can be born again of the Spirit. And that's really God's purpose for you. That's God's will for you. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. It's the will of God that everyone in this building be saved, that you truly know the Lord. The first thing is a healthy discontentment. The second thing is a pursuing of God's purposes, a going after. God's purposes. And the first one is to be saved. That's God's purpose. And then the other part of this verse is that whatever God's plan, he didn't save you just for heaven, although that's a wonderful, wonderful hope that we have. But he saved you because in the days of your life on this planet, he has a purpose for you, a design for you, a life that he wants to be lived out by you. That's the will of God for you, that you pursue what God put you here for. Amen. Why are you here? What is your calling? What are your gifts? What is your natural abilities that God has given to you? Have you reached the levels of awe? Have you really, really, are you really accomplishing those things? And I think too often we put limits on what could ever be done. Don't limit God. Don't limit how God might use you. Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, be it unto you. That scripture just says to me that it's really up to us. It's really up to our faith in God, our faith and our willingness to step out, to do something, to be something for the Lord, our willingness to allow the Lord. There's really no limitation except the limitation that you place upon yourself. God has a purpose, and he wants you to fulfill that purpose. You say, well, to what extent? What is it that God has for me? Let's read this verse. This is another one of those verses that when I read it, it's pretty mind-boggling. It says, this is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To what extent does God want to work in you? Well, I think that verse pretty well describes it. His ideas are exceeding abundantly above all anything that you could ask God for or even think or dream. Now that's big. That is really big. Amen. As a matter of fact, that phrase there, exceeding abundantly above all, is a phrase that really means that the extent can't be expressed. And so these are just thrown in there by the Spirit of God to let you know that it's exceeding, it's abundant, it's above all you could ever think or you could ever ask. I don't know about you, but I can think pretty big. I can dream pretty big. I can believe for some pretty big things. And I believe that God takes great pleasure whenever he sees his people acting in faith, believing God for great and wonderful things that he wants to do. I know that some would say, well, we can't get too carried away with this. We certainly can't go out on a limb. But no, I think that we probably do need to go out on the limb. I think we do. It's out on the limb where all the fruit is. It's out on the limb. It might be a little risky, but I believe spiritually speaking, God wants us to go out on the limb so that we can reap the wonderful blessings and benefits that God has for every one of you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to succeed in the work of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily wealth. The only reason that he gives us wealth is so that through it we can glorify his name. The only reason he would ever do that. But God blesses us for many, many reasons and many, many different ways. And God wants us to step out and to believe God. Sometimes if we just believe his word and believe his promises, then we need to live in such a way that we are stepping out there, and to the point that we can't rescue ourselves, God has to rescue us. That we step out, that we believe. That is faith. Faith is believing and trusting God, and setting goals is just that. It is an act of your faith and your confidence in God, trusting God to do bigger, greater, more wonderful things than you could ever imagine. So number one, you need to have a healthy discontent. And number two, you need to pursue the purpose of God. And that includes, number one, becoming a child of God. And number two, finding out the purpose of God for your life. And doing it with your whole heart. Pouring everything that you have into being what God created you to be. Amen. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He reaffirms that again. I'm not there yet. I haven't done it yet. I haven't accomplished it yet. But this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. What is the one thing? Forsaking the old and pursuing the new. Now, you probably can look upon the past year and think, oh, there's so many problems. I made so many mistakes. I made so many blunders in 2016. I believe that God wants you to not allow that to be the focus of this year, but you need to set some spiritual goals, and they need to be concentrated. Concentrated. That's the third thing. Your spiritual goals need to be concentrated. This one thing I do. This is a mistake I make. I'd say it's a mistake that many of us make. We get too many irons in the fire. Get too many things going. Trying to juggle a million things, and we can't do any of them service because we're just trying to do so many things. Concentration. Put your focus on something. Ask the Lord to help you to be focused with your spiritual goals so that you can really accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Sometimes you do have to say no to certain things. Remember Nehemiah? He's building the wall. He's up on that wall. He's doing work to see the wall restored and rebuilt. And there are those who want to come and distract him. And his response is, I can't stop this work. I can't come down. I'm doing a good work. I can't come down. I'm busy. I'm focused. I am focused upon this one thing. Amen. However the Lord directs you, however the Lord leads you, be concentrated, be focused upon the thing that God has for you to accomplish. They say that Billy Graham, in all the years of his evangelistic ministry, almost everything that he did was just crusades for the lost. That's all he did. That there were some 20 different individuals in states, 20 different states in this country who offered to give him large acreages so that he could build a Billy Graham University. But he said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be distracted from what I'm called to do, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world in these massive crusades. And he wouldn't allow himself to be distracted from the main thing. What is it that God has called you to do? What is your calling? What are your gifts? What is your purpose? And what is it that God wants you to do this year in 2017? Don't be distracted from it. But instead, be focused upon the important things that God puts upon your heart. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then he says, I am pressing. In the previous verse there where he talks about forgetting those things, it says reaching unto those things which are before. The word there means stretching, reaching. The analogy is someone running a race and they're reaching for the prize. They're reaching for the finish line, stretching. And that's another fourth guideline that the Apostle Paul gives us, and that is that we need to allow the Lord to stretch us to be more than we've ever been before. Amen. To do some things we've never done before, to accomplish some things. I read this on the program this morning. This is from a pastor up in Chicago from a sermon that he wrote called Five Dangerous Prayers. Five dangerous prayers to pray. The first one is, search me. The second one was, break me. The third one was, stretch me. Would you pray and ask the Lord to stretch you, to cause you to be something that you have never, ever done before? Now, the Bible says in Romans that God has given to every man the measure of faith. And I happen to believe that that means God has given to everyone the capacity to believe the gospel and get saved. That's my understanding of that scripture. He's given to every man the measure of faith, enough faith to get saved. But that's not the end, because then from that day forward, we're to live our life pleasing to God, and we're to live a life of faith. We have the measure of faith to get saved, and then after you're saved, then that faith needs to be strengthened, it needs to be developed, it needs to grow, and you need to live your life by faith. Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. You want to please the Lord? Then you step out in faith. You live in faith. You want to be pleasing to the Lord? Then you demonstrate the fact that you want to do more for God. You want to be stretched. It's true in athletics that before they can run the weight race or they can involve in the sport, that they have to go through this exercising and stretching process if they're to be able to succeed. It's true in music, in vocals. Vocalists have to exercise their vocal cords and get them if they're going to be able to stretch their range and stretch their voice. And it's true in the life of faith. If you want to see more accomplished in your life for the glory of God, you have to be willing to let God stretch you. And that might be a little bit painful. That might be a little bit uncomfortable when God deals with you. He might take you through some fiery trial, and through that, He is stretching your faith. He may allow you to go through some problem or some situation to demonstrate His mighty power in your life. Let Him do it. Allow God to work in you, to stretch you, to make you into what you need to be. You know, many of the great patriarchs, they were not qualified and did not think they were qualified to do what God said they could do. Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage in Egypt. But Moses' response was, I can't do that. Who am I? They're not going to listen to me. And then he said, who am I going to say sent me? And the Lord said, I am that I am hath sent thee. And then he said, but I can't do it. I'm slow to speak. Apparently, he had a speech impediment of some sort. And he said, I'm slow to speak. And I don't know what to say. Exodus 4 and 12. Now, therefore, go, and I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses did not feel qualified. It was stretching him to be able to do the things that God had called him to do. I can't do it. I don't have the ability. I don't have the authority. And I certainly don't have the voice to be able to communicate what you're asking me to. But God called Moses, and it required that he stretch himself. If you're going to fulfill the goal that I ask you to fulfill, you're going to have to allow God to stretch you to do what you've never done before. Amen. Are you willing? Jeremiah, same type of response whenever he was called to be a prophet to Israel. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. He was saying, I'm too young. I don't have the ability. I just can't do it. I'm just unqualified to do this task. But the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Praise God. Jeremiah felt unqualified. The apostles, they felt unqualified. They were unqualified. They were fishermen. They weren't apostles. They weren't preachers. They weren't articulate in their speech, but somehow everyone that heard them and came into contact with them, they recognized these men have been with Jesus. These men have been with Jesus. There was something, there was a touch of God upon them, so that when he called them, they threw their nets down, left their old job of fishing and their whole occupation, and began to follow Jesus. And they learned of him, and God used him. And they marveled at the boldness of Peter and John. They marveled at their abilities that God gave to them to speak, even though that they were ignorant and unlearned. It was obvious that they had been in the presence of the Lord. And God who calls always equips you. If he puts it in your heart, he will always give you the ability to get the job done. He will always, if it's in your heart, if he calls you to do something greater than you could ever imagine, believe him. Step out in faith and let God stretch you to do what you have never done before. That will make this coming year, 2017, a year of God's blessing. A year where you'll see God moving in ways that you have never witnessed him working in your life before. So that's number four, stretching your faith. One more. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, stretching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. This was really determination. That's the fifth thing. I press toward the mark. It's interesting that the word here, press, he used the same word, the same Greek word, when you back up to verse 6 of Philippians chapter 3. When he was describing himself before his conversion, he talked about the fact that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. The word persecuting there is the same Greek word for press. So what was Paul doing when he was trying to destroy the church? The Bible says that he was going to every synagogue, compelling them to blaspheme, and was exceeding mad against them. He was like a wild guy. He was out of control. He's like a madman. Exceeding mad against them. He said, I persecuted them, same Greek word. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. It just means that he wasn't just in the major cities. He went into these little small little places, chasing them down because he had such zeal to destroy the church. But now he's saying, I am the same zeal that I had before to destroy the church, I now have to see God's will accomplished in my life. Praise God. The same kind of madness, the same kind of determination, the same kind of a commitment. The very energy that he used before to destroy the church is now the same energy that he's using now to build the church. Glory to God. Just think about who you were before you were saved, what you did in your former life. I'm telling you, people are pretty zealous about what they do in the world. Amen. They're crazy, out of control, zealous in what they do in the world. All that they put into their hobbies, all that they put into their good times, all the energy and all the money that they put into the things of the past. But now that you're a servant of God, what about putting that and even more determination into your commitment to God? I press toward the mark for the prize. I'm always pressing, determined to get to that prize. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a high calling. The walk of faith is a high calling. The determination to do God's will is a high calling. What God wants to do through you and through me, if we'll hear his voice, is pretty amazing. So there's five guidelines there in those three verses that I pray will be helpful to you as you determine, Lord, what is it you want me to do in this year that I have never done before? Last year when the year started, I was making plans to go to Africa. I'd never been to Sierra Leone before. I told Brother Bakri before we went, I said, Brother, we're going to be so busy throughout our days trying to get the radio station up and operational. Please don't schedule lots of services. We won't have the time to do that. Well, he listened to absolutely nothing I said. And so when we got there, he had services scheduled every night. There were only two preachers. I had pneumonia. Royce Roy was there. And we took turns every night preaching in these revival meeting services that he had scheduled all throughout the time and through the day we're involved. And I'd never built a radio station before. And I'd never seen anything like that accomplished before, especially not in a Muslim city, a Muslim nation. And I walked away from that, and I'm telling you, it took a lot out of me. It was really more than I was able to do. But now when I review and I watch the videos of the experience and look at the pictures of that, and I hear them, the calls that come in from Brother Bakri to me, telling me what's happening and how many people are being touched by the message of the gospel, thank God you can try something you've never done before. Amen. Reach out. Believe God. Amen. I think I gave a clear enough description of the fact that even if you're old, God will give you strength. No matter what your age is, God will give you strength to do whatever it is that He's calling you to do. I believe the Lord has plans for every individual in this building. His plans for this church, for this ministry. He has a plan. We need to get in line with that. We need to understand what it is that He's wanting to do and believe Him and step out in faith. Some of you have friends and family that aren't Christians, and you've kind of come to that place where you've concluded they're never, ever going to be saved. They're never going to come to the Lord. No, don't allow the enemy to lie to you like that. This might be the very year the most hard-hearted and the most resistant person will come to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. This may be a year. Surely it might be the year the Lord comes. But if He doesn't come, I hope and pray that right here in this location, He finds faith when He does come. Faith in action. People doing what God has called us to do. Let's stand, everybody. Praise God. Set your goal today on this January 1. Lord, I want to see something accomplished in my life of never before. Never before. Ask the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Ask Him what He has planned for you and get in step with that plan. Praise God. Oh, we do thank You, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.